Good afternoon. I'd like to call the House Transportation Committee to order. Today is Thursday, April 20th, 2023. We are in the Barnes Committee Room 124 of the Alaska State Capitol Building. Let the record reflect that the time is 1:19 p.m. Today we have Representative Craig Johnston, Mr. Rules Chair, Representative McKay, Representative Vance, Representative Mina, and myself, Chair McCabe. The staff that will be assisting us today are Recording Secretary Kevin Allen and Moderator Sidney Truitt. Thank you both for your service. Buddy Witt is my committee aide. We have two items of business today. First, the committee will bring back HB 128, introduce and consider a CS. Next, we will bring back HB 24 before the committee for consideration. Any questions before we begin from the committee members? Seeing none, we are bringing back HB 128 for consideration. HB 128 is a bill sponsored by this committee relating to the definition of oil terminal facilities. The bill was given an introduction on March 30th, and this committee took up public testimony this past Tuesday, April 18th. Between the initial introduction today and today, my staff has been working with the department and stakeholders to craft a committee substitute that addresses each party's concerns. We have a committee substitute for consideration that I think comes very close to our goal. Madam Vice Chair, may I have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move that the committee adopt Transportation Committee substitute for House Bill 128 version U as an umbrella as the committee's working document.
Seeing no objection, or I guess I will object for purposes of discussion and invite my committee aide to walk the committee through the changes made to the in the committee substitute. So take it away, Mr. Witt.
Thank you, Chairman McCabe, members of the committee. Before you is version U of House Bill 128. If you do not have this CS, I have copies for you. I apologize. This was received not very long ago and went through, and I was able to put together an explanation of changes. If you don't have any of the paperwork because it did come in late, please let me know. We have extra copies. As the committee will recall, the initial version of this bill as it was introduced just dealt with the definition of oil terminal facility and the concern that the definition contained within it provisions for vessels and subscribed to vessels times when they were considered oil tank facilities and caused some concern among fuel delivery handlers in the state. And so after working on this CS, I think is pretty close. We have feedback from stakeholders that it works. We are waiting for feedback from DEC, which the chair will touch on a little bit more. The first change is in the title. The title is changed because it incorporates a couple of new sections, and the bill incorporates a couple of new sections of law. So sections 1, 2, and 4 being added to the bill require a statute change to reflect the subject matter of those sections. Section 1 starts on page 1, line 4, goes through line 11. This adds language that an approved contingency plan for a tank vessel or oil barge satisfies the requirement in A of this section for contingency plans for oil terminal facilities. So as you recall, we were considering vessels, non-tank vessels, when they were performing ship-to-ship fuel transfers or when they were traveling from point A to point for a ship-to-ship fuel transfer, they were being considered oil terminal facilities. The concern was that these ships would have to have the same contingency plans that actual literal land or platform-based oil terminal facilities have. When they are completely different things. So we are clarifying that when a vessel has a contingency plan that has been approved for the purposes of this section, they are considered to be in line with the requirements of an oil terminal facility. Section 2 was added, and it adds language that proof of financial ability for a tank or oil barge that is approved under this section satisfies the requirements of A. So it's doing the same thing in Section 2 that Section 1 does, only this relates to financial ability. If you have that financial ability, you are considered covered when you are considered an oil terminal facility. Section 3 was already in the bill. This is 4604-900, subsection 14. the definition of oil terminal facility. We basically added language into the definition of oil terminal facility to conform to sections 1 and 2 of the bill. It's just reiterating that, yes, vessels are oil terminal facilities, except when they meet with those other two provisions in sections 1 and 2, then they are not considered oil terminal facilities. And section 4 was added to the bill. This is an immediate effective date. I'd like to see an immediate effective date, so when this thing goes into law, we can continue fuel transfers unabated in Alaska. And Mr. Chairman, that is a brief overview of the explanation changes to version U.
Thank you, Mr. Witt. Are there any questions from committee members? Seeing none, I will remove my objection. And I think what we're going to do is set this aside. We're still working on the fiscal notes, so just for the committees. And I think it will be faster. I considered maybe voting for an indeterminate note, and then it will have to go through finance. I think it will be faster for this bill, which really is timely for the barge members, because they got to start sailing pretty soon to get up to the villages and up to the rivers. So the faster way to do this is to get to a zero fiscal note, so it doesn't have a finance committee referral, because the finance committees are all tied up in the budget. So I think what we're going to do is set this aside and wait until we can see if we can modify the fiscal note. It'll be a faster way to get it through to the other body, or to the floor, than to the other body.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Did we adopt the CS? You removed your objections, but did we actually take the action to adopt it?
No, I think, you didn't object, so I should have said, yes, this is adopted, because I said, remove my objections.
Remove my objections.
Thanks for that.
Thanks.
Keep me straight here.
Sorry.
It's a little bit of a free-for-all because of the delay today, so
gotcha.
I appreciate it. So I should say that for the record, that the CS is adopted. So let's take a brief at ease. Okay, back on the record. Our next agenda item today is House Bill 124, sponsored by Representative Kalum. The committee heard the bill this past Tuesday, April 18th. The committee was given an initial introduction to the bill, and we heard from invited testimony. Today, I would like to take up public testimony, have the bill sponsor answer any remaining questions, and then I will look to the will of the committee. So are there any you can approach if you want, Representative Kalum, and put yourself on the record, and I'll see if the committee members have any question for you. You might want to give – maybe you want to give a short, quick synopsis so people know what we're talking about.
Yeah, sure. My name is Julie Kalum. I am representative for District 11. I have my staff here.
For the record, my name is Daniel Robbins, staff to Representative Kalum.
So thank you, Chair McCabe and committee. So HB 124 repeals the requirement that a person hold a driver's license for 1 year before they apply for a commercial driver's license. It's I consider it a workforce bill. It helps people start their CDL training much faster. And with training changes over time, this old statute isn't really required anymore.
Perfect. So any questions from committee members? Vice Chair Vance.
Thank you, through the chair, Representative Kalum. On the section being deleted, it deals with the 1 year before the date of application, but also says or meets the experience qualifications established by the department. And do you have any insight onto that area of statute that apparently isn't working either? If they could have looked at 1 year or experience qualifications. Do you have any insight on that provision of the bill?
Yeah, I'd like my staff to answer that.
For the record, this is Daniel Robbins. So through the chair, there have been no other experience qualifications developed besides just having the requirement that you need to hold a driver's license for a year. There hasn't been anything developed.
Thank you. That's insightful.
Any other questions from the committee?
think we should just. Mr. Chairman? Question?
Senator McKay.
Yeah, through the chair, Representative Colomb, you and I talked about this a little bit. I just worry a little bit about language barriers, and do the individuals that are coming from other countries, they understand English, I guess, well enough to be able to get an Alaska commercial driver's license and to be able to communicate at a basic level, at least, so that we're not sacrificing safety.
Yeah.
If you understand what I'm saying, maybe we should, on the record, just make sure that that issue's settled.
Yeah, sure. You want me to take it, Daniel?
Sure.
So through the chair to Representative McKay, thank you for the question. So obviously we don't deal with the language barriers in the bill, but there is a certain competency. Like, they don't, if you hold the driver's license for a year, obviously you have to be able to understand the written test, the normal driver's license testing. And I think my staff could speak to it a little bit, how people get around that. But you're right there, especially because I referenced Ukrainian immigrants, there is some language barriers there. They do have translate. They use a lot of translators, like on their phone. And I guess it would be up to the people training them on whether they can actually communicate clearly back and forth. They're not going to, if there isn't too much of a barrier, they just won't be able to do the training. Okay. But I would like my staff to speak to that a little bit on how they're dealing with the language barriers.
Mr. Robbins.
For the record, my name is Daniel Robbins. Through the chair, so I do have family members that have come over since the start of the war, and they are driving just fine, despite the fact that English was not their first language, obviously. I would say that from what I've seen, the language barrier shouldn't be too much of an issue.
Okay. Thanks, Representative McKay. So I think we had, maybe it was Joe Michelle or it might have been Mr. Crum, that mentioned that there are four things you need to do still, right? And the very first thing is you have to get an Alaska driver's license. And one of the very first things on the Alaska driver's license is you have to be able to speak and understand enough English to actually read signs. And when the cop says, get out of the car, you have to know enough to get out of the car, however that goes. So I am happy to hear this bill for you, Representative Colomb, and happy that it's moving through. I think it's an important part of filling some of the gaps that I see coming in our CDL and operator area. So if I don't have any other questions from the committee, I'm going to open public testimony. I think we have three people, one in the room and two online. So with that, I'll open public testimony. And Ms. Capozzi is here from, she's the president and CEO of the Alaska Chamber, in the room to give us her public testimony. So just put your, you know how this is done, put your name on the record and fire away.
Chair McCabe, members of the House Transportation Committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify today. For the record, my name is Katie Capozzi, and I proudly serve as the president and CEO of the Alaska Chamber of Commerce, known as the Alaska Chamber. I testify today in support of House Bill 124, an act relating to commercial motor vehicle driver's license requirements and providing for an effective date. The Alaska Chamber was founded in 1953 and is Alaska's largest statewide business advocacy organization. Our mission is to promote a healthy business environment in Alaska. The Chamber has more than 700 members and represents businesses of all sizes and industries across the state, representing 58,000 Alaskan workers and $4.6 billion in wages. The Chamber has a formal policy position to support workforce development, increase the number of qualified employees needed to fill positions in resource industries. HB 124 would eliminate one of the many barriers to entry of individuals seeking a career in trucking and transportation. The Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration recently implemented its entry-level driver training program, otherwise known as ELDT, which establishes a minimum training requirements for entry-level commercial motor vehicle operators. This program was a result of years of engagement with safety organizations, industry, and other stakeholders. ELDT provides a checklist of well over 100 different skills, inspection, and knowledge requirements an applicant must prove to be proficient in before they are allowed to test for a CDL. Considering these new requirements, the holding of a regular driver's license for a calendar year is a redundant barrier to entry into the transportation industry. Our members know firsthand how vital trained and licensed CDL drivers are to the Alaskan economy, not only in the resource industry, but across all industry sectors that rely on transportation of goods and services. In closing, the Chamber supports HB 124 and encourages swift passage of this straightforward and good for business bill. Thank you for considering the Chamber's comments.
Thank you, Ms. Kaposi. I appreciate you coming all the way just to testify. Okay, next we have Joe Michelle from the Alaska Trucking Association, and Mr. Michelle is online. Go ahead and put yourself on record and give us your testimony, Mr. Michelle.
Thank you. I was just making myself available for questions. So for the purposes of time, I'll just cede my opportunity.
Okay, very good. Thank you, sir. And finally, we have Tatiana Robbins from the Ukraine Relief Program. No possibility that name is familiar to us. So go ahead, Ms. Robbins, put yourself on record and give us your testimony.
Hello, my name is Tatiana Robbins. I live in Anchorage. Thank you, Chairman and members of the committee. I'm a CEO of Ukraine Relief Program, and since last May, our program provided transportation and support for over 1,000 Ukrainians who have fled the war in Ukraine. They came to Alaska simply because they are trying to stay alive. As we provided them housing and simple needs, we're in a very important phase of our operation as employment. And as we evaluated their professional skills, we discovered that a large number of our program participants already have experience driving heavy equipment and buses, both private and public, and already held CPCs in Europe and Ukraine and would love to continue in the industry and apply for CDL. And as we learned that we have about 500 positions available for CDL licenses, we were really excited, but at the same time, because Alaska statute is out of sync with the federal requirements to get CDL, our Ukrainians will have to wait for a year before they can apply for CDL, which will force them to a different industry since they have to provide for their families. Or, for instance, we have a number of states with no waiting period, and they can basically move to different states, and in 6 weeks after applying for CDL licenses, they will be on the road providing for their families. I would hate to see that such a high-skilled professionals leave our state or go to the other industries. I believe that passage of SB 124 will help us to fill much-needed vacancies in transportation industry, and will also will help to many of our arrivals to able to work in a chosen field and to begin to rebuild their life in Alaska. And I urge your support for SB 124 and. I think we all together, Ukrainians, and you know, here we can help Alaska growing. Thank you for your time, and I'm available to answer any questions, especially about language barrier.
Thank you, Ms. Robbins. I think we all understood you very well, so I appreciate your testimony, and I appreciate you loaning your son to us for this important bill. So. I don't see anyone else online for anybody else in the room for testimony. Okay, I'll close public testimony. Any other questions from the committee based on the testimony we heard? Okay, seeing no other questions, thank you, Representative Colom. And I think I'll look to the will of the committee. Everybody good? Madam Vice Chair, may I have a motion, please?
Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 124, Work Order 33-LS0588/A, from committee with individual recommendations and attached zero fiscal note.
Okay, seeing and hearing no objections, House Bill 124 moves from committee to the next committee of referral. This concludes today's committee hearing. Members, please stick around to complete the committee report. If there's no other business or no other questions, transportation is adjourned at 1:39 p.m.